Lee Chambers
on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Right, well, there's nothing like a dame, especially at this time of year, as Mandy Morton find out when she spoke to Matt Crosby, who's appearing in Aladdin at the Cambridge Arts Theatre.
Matt, it's an absolute delight to talk to you. Really, you're one of the new members of the Panto, only 14 years consecutively in Cambridge at the Arts Theatre.
Yeah, indeed, only 14 years. I'm looking to do 30.
And I've absolutely no doubt, judging by the pantos that I've seen you in, that you will actually achieve that one way or another, although I'm not sure what your family thinks to it. You have grown into the dame's role. There's no doubt about that. We've seen you actually do that at the Cambridge Arts Theatre, which is a little bit special for us. Was it something when you first started in panto that you aspired to, or how did the transition take place?
No, because I started off as the Silly Billy character, which was great, which I loved. And I think the first year, I didn't get it. I didn't really understand it. But bless Brad Fitt, the director and the writer at the time, kind of coached me through it, and suddenly I thought, oh yeah, I could do this. So came back the following year, and it seemed to be a doddle. I thought, oh, it's wonderful, yeah, once again I can get to play this little silly fool who loves his mom, who loves people, who just wants to be so optimistic about everything, but everything goes wrong for him. Whatever he turns his hand to, it all goes wrong. And I thought, well, that's the story of my life, really. So I carried on doing that, Buttons, the following year, which was lovely. Thoroughly enjoyed that part. And then, you know, as the years go by, still playing Silly Billy, Brad stepped in as Dame. And it was wonderful to see Brad, because that was his first Dame. He'd never Damed before. So to see him as my mum was just wonderful, because we were friends at drama school. We'd been mates at drama school in the 90s. So to see that happen, and then Brad left. Brad moved on, wanted to go and try out his Dame somewhere else. And I just said to Dave, I don't know why I said it, maybe it was a silly thing to say, but I just went, Dave, could I have a go? Any chance I could have a go? And bless Dave Murphy went, yeah, all right, okay, well, why not? Let's give it a trial run, and if it works, then great. So it was a real baptism of fire to step into Brad's shoes. And Brad, to me, was the consummate Dame to me. I think he's a beautiful, beautiful Dame to watch on stage. So stepping into his shoes was terrifying, as I'm sure Brad thought about stepping into Michael Fenton Stevens' shoes, as Michael Fenton Stevens thought about stepping into Biggin's shoes. So to suddenly become Dame, that was a real baptism of fire. That was a real eye-opener. And from then on, I think she's just grown, as have I, outwards.
Well, you ain't cut down on padding, obviously, one way or another. Although I imagine you are going to need a lot more padding, judging by the looks of you, I think. You talked about walking in other people's footsteps or high heels or whatever she happens to be wearing at the time. But it's not just the people that have been playing the Dame at the Cambridge Arts Theatre. The Dame is the absolute centre of pantomime and has been for lots and lots of years. It's the person that the audience can identify with. They hope that she's going to triumph in the end. She is the central figure. So you carry this massive tradition as well as following in your colleagues' footsteps.
Yeah, of course. Well, I think to me, the Dame is always the go-between for the... Well, she goes between the story and the audience. So she's always that link. Along with Silly Billy, or Wishy Washy in this case, they're the link to the audience, and they're the ones that will joke and share something with the audience, and then suddenly turn back and they're back in the story again. So it's a real honour, it's a real privilege to be asked to play that part. But I know friends who would give the right arm to play a dame, to have a go at a dame. I think it's wonderful. I don't know how on earth. I still kind of kick myself or pinch myself sometimes when I arrive in Cambridge and go, oh, God, I'm being asked back again. I can't believe it. It's wonderful because the city is just amazing.
Well, we're very happy that you're coming back to us again. I'm just thinking, you have a young family at home, two little girls.
Yes.
What do they think to Daddy wearing dresses?
They weren't so sure to begin with. Well, Beatrice, who's three, she's still a bit unsure, but she really likes looking in my makeup box. Clara, I gave her a key to my makeup kit. I said, you could put this on your key ring. She's very proud to take it into school. Said, this is Daddy's makeup box. But I keep the makeup box on the top of the cupboard and I hide all the stepladders so she can't go anywhere near it. I said, it's mine. I said, you can have it when I'm dead. She wants my eyelashes because there's a guy, Ricky, who's come in and talked about makeup. He's kind of designed the makeup over the years for me. And his gift to me on first night... Do you know what's funny? All right, I must say, last year someone said, have you got any rituals? Are there any rituals that you do? And I went, no, no rituals. I just come in, get the makeup on, go out on stage. And Ricky was seething. He went, oh, really? Really? No rituals, huh? I said, I don't think so. Oh, no. I always insist that you do my makeup on preview, press night, and I always ask for some new lashes. He went, yes.
So that's
yes.
Your talisman?
That, yeah, it really is. So he comes in and brings me these beautiful eyelashes, which are just full of crystals. And I can't wear them. They're too heavy. Within 10 minutes, my eyes are closing. They say, open your eyes. I can't. I'm so tired. My eyes are so tired. But Clara keeps seeing them. My seven-year-old keeps seeing them. She says, Daddy, when you don't need them anymore, can I have them? Yes. But I'll just keep them on top of this wardrobe for the time being, out of your reach. Because I know she'll be there with the super glue, the Gorilla Glue, sticking them to her face.
Well, she'll be married herself if you manage to get to the 30 anyway, so...
Well, don't worry, because she said when she gets married, she's still going to live at home.
Oh, well, that's all right, yeah. Yes. As long He's as somebody not. Somebody tells... Yeah. No, the husband
partner,
isn't.
Yeah, the partner won't be, but she can stay.
I can see your home's a pantomime, let alone anything else.
Yeah.
Tell me, the slapstick sections, which so many people look forward to, and it's always in all the panto cycle, in every one of them, Cinderella, Jack and the Beanstalk, all the panto cycle, there is always this glorious moment. You can always tell in the theatre, because when you come back from the interval, whatever, there's plastic sheeting has suddenly appeared on the stage, and you know that it's going to be fantastic. Watching you last year, I was seriously thinking, when he gets to that dressing room, he is going to be black and blue. It is the most glorious thing to watch. It reminds me of the old-fashioned clowns like Mr. Pastry
people
I like that.
So. Yeah, of course.
But it is precision, the timing and everything. And basically it has to be like that, I'm assuming, otherwise people get very, very badly hurt. But it's a glorious moment. Do you hurt yourself?
I think when we're in the rehearsal room and when we go through the technical aspect of it before the show opens, there are moments where we will bruise ourselves, we do injure ourselves, to see how far you can push it for an audience to go, oh, I felt that. Because that's what I want. I want the children to think it's funny. When I was younger, I used to watch You Being Framed on the television, and Jeremy Beadle would show this next clip of someone running into a lamppost. And as a child, I laughed out loud. I thought it was brilliant. As an adult, I sit there and go, oh, God, that was really painful. That looked horrendous. And that's almost what I like. I quite enjoy it. So all the falls, you know, I always try and make sure that I'll wear something to show the audience that there's no knee padding, there's no elbow pads, and it's all real.
I've just been into the wardrobe lady's room where she's busily stitching away. There are rails and rails of the most glorious costumes getting ready for the panto. Yeah. But for the dame, it is the ultimate. It is the ultimate dress. You look forward to her coming on. What about the actual logistical nightmare that goes on backstage? Because it is astonishing. It's almost like layer upon layer upon layer.
Last year, what did I have? I had my normal pants, I had my undies, then a nice pair of tight tights. The tights are great. My legs look great in ladies' tights. They do. They look fantastic.
I'm worrying now.
Lovely sheen. I've got lovely, lovely legs in tights. Out of them, it just looks like a chicken fillet, but in them, it looks wonderful. Tight. Then the fat suit goes on. Then underskirts. Then there's more of a frock and then another layer of frockage. And then underdressing if you need to. So if you have one costume over the top of another costume. Last year, it was just ridiculous. I looked like Man Mountain. It was just ridiculous. I had three costumes on at one stage. Sweating away. You couldn't see the sweat. It was all in costume number one, and that was dripping into my arms. And me belly button was like a swimming pool afterwards. Oh, it was terrible. I think, as far as the costumes go, I've got about 8 or 9... I think this year, and each one just gets better and better and better. a bit of underdressing this year, a little bit of underdressing. Maybe, we'll see. But we timed it. We were looking at bows before we were doing the curtain call. And the director says, right, OK, so you'll come off, you do the song sheet with the children, you do the song sheet, and then I'll go off, I get changed. Max goes off, he gets changed. And we timed it. I've got 37 seconds to get into a walk-down costume, and Max has got 17. So, you know, that's going to be fun, isn't it? He's going to be coming on with his shoes off and his shirt off. I remember one of the first times, I think it was my first year as Dame, and we didn't get to do a dress rehearsal because it was so technical. We finished our tech. The show went up 10 minutes late because it was so manic. Just said, well, we haven't got time to do anything. The show's going to go up late. So 10 minutes after it was meant to be on, show goes up. And we get to the very end and we all look at one another and go, oh, we haven't rehearsed this, but we haven't rehearsed the bows. We haven't done that bit. Everyone was run off, dressed, late. Just whoever came on, whichever order, whenever you were dressed, who says, go, 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 go.
I bet the audience loved it, though, because the audience loves a mistake, don't they?
Oh, well, it was mental. It was just mental. Loved him.
What about you and Christmas? We mentioned a little bit earlier that you have a young family.
Yes.
And, of course, at this time of year, it doesn't matter what the parents do as far as a job is concerned. Christmas has to happen.
Yeah.
How do you make that happen? Because it's just the one day that you have off.
Mm. We finish here. We've got two shows on a Christmas Eve. I get straight in the car and I just drive up north. It's like a 4.5 hour drive home.
Where's home?
New Brighton, a tiny little town, like a seaside town. Very close to Liverpool, actually. So I'll drive home to New Brighton. See, hopefully Clara will be awake because she'll be all excited about Christmas. So I might see her. Beatrice will be long gone, snoring in her bed. And then wake up at silly o'clock. Christmas morning. I get so excited about Christmas. I mean, the thing is about Panto is it's brought back that Christmas spirit for me, because Christmas, I was always just saying it's just another day, you know. It's busy for Father Christmas, of course. It wasn't busy for me. I wasn't doing Panto, and then suddenly you come back and do Panto and you find your Christmas cheer again. You know, you go out and say, oh, you know, I'll get that advent calendar for myself, or I'll decorate the tree, or I'll do this, or I'll do that. Because Christmas is a wonderful time of the year, and I think Panto really adds to that, whether or not you go and watch it, or indeed, if you go and do one, whether or not it's professional or amateur. You know, I'd say to anybody, have a go at a pantomime, you know, get involved in a pantomime.
So it's a traditional Christmas day for you and the family?
Traditional Christmas day, yeah. We'll have Christmas dinner. We always have a turkey. We always lay on a turkey. Then go and visit family, do family. And then Christmas Day evening, I drive, come back to Cambridge.
And away you go again. Does it change? Is there a sea change in the performances before Christmas, with that big build-up and the excitement and all of that, to getting back into the dresses again, thinking, well, it's done and dusted?
I can always feel my Christmas dinner on Boxing Day. I always know I've eaten a big meal on Boxing Day. I feel so sluggish. But no, the audiences, you see, to me, the audiences bring the energy for the show sometimes. If you enjoy it on stage and the audience enjoy it as an audience, then the shows are magical, just completely magical. But yeah, you kind of see the change in the new year. You see the change in the new year with the audiences. Not so much for us, because we're still on Christmas mode. I'll be on Christmas mode until, you know, the Sunday that we finish. It's the Monday I wake up and I have that January feeling. But yeah, Christmas mode lasts until the end of Panto season.
We as a country are in dire straits at the moment, politically. Mm. And it's a tradition in Panto, of course, that there are some jokes within the Panto. It must be a nightmare with the current political position to even consider actually channeling anything that's going on in Westminster or for that matter in Europe at the moment. So are we to have, dare I say it, a Brexit-free Panto this year?
I cannot possibly say. I will say that Widow Twankey will be performing a very famous dance of a very famous lady.
Will it be backed by an ABBA song?
That exact song. Can't wait. I've been practicing in the mirror and I've got it down to a T. I look great. I just need the wig and the suit and the really long arms.
I can't even begin to think who you're talking about, Matt. All I can say is, can I wish you a very happy Christmas, another very successful run here at the Cambridge Arts Theatre, and here's to the 30th.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Might be dead by then.
Let's hope not.
And that was Mandy Morton talking to Matt Crosby. And Aladdin runs from now until the 6th of January at the Cambridge Arts Theatre. And you can book your tickets on Cambridge 503333. That's 503333. And Wayne Sleep, who plays Abenaza, will be featured on the Eclectic Light Show this Sunday at 3. That's Wayne Sleep on the Eclectic Light Show this Sunday at 3.